Listen
to this.
Ordered for quality assurance.
Listen
to this.
With Clifford Sharon.
Sir, you are no gentleman.
And you, miss, are no lady.
Only in New York could they come up with an expensive cocktail with less alcohol and then spin it like it's better for you.
Yes. Well, you think about it, you're not really a cocktail drinker, are you? You pretty much stick to just wine or maybe the occasional beer. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I don't mind the odd cocktail as long as it doesn't have a fancy umbrella in it.
Right, not too fruity-tooty.
Tutti-frutti.
Well, a lot of times cocktails have more than one liqueur in them. And so instead of just, if you just have a vodka tonic, then you've got a shot of vodka in your tonic. But if you have a cocktail, it might have two or three alcoholic ingredients. And so it's quite a bit more expensive. So this bar in New York has said, well, listen, some people just don't want to get buzzed that quickly. They want to enjoy a cocktail. I want to have like a mixed drink or something a bit fancy a little bit. And so we're offering these, I guess they're single spirit cocktails. We're offering those and they're still $13. You could just slow down on the drinking. I don't really see the point in spending
exactly.
$13 on a cocktail that's got, look, if you, I can go into a bar and I could spend $13 and I
there
probably have spent $13 on a cocktail, but it's been crafted and it's, you know, it's been made, and you have the mixologist there and they're, you know, making love to the glass on the way through. I mean, it's all pretty special and
it's
fabulous.
It's part of the showbiz
of
presenting you with a drink.
It is, and there is a lot of craftsmanship that goes into it and all of that, a lot of skill that goes into it, but to spend $13 on something that's got a whole lot less alcohol, I kind of don't see the point, really. I don't really just get a mocktail.
You want the booze. You're paying the artistry plus the alcohol.
Well, yeah, but if you've got less alcohol plus the artistry, then sure, the cost of the ingredients is a lot less. How do you still get away with charging $13?
But here you go.
Get that.
It's the spin, because you can drink more of these and feel better tomorrow morning and not have a hangover.
Or
that's
you could just order a mocktail or have a club soda in between every alcoholic drink. There is that too. A lot cheaper.
Here's what you need to do. Have a shot to wash down your drink.
Oh, there you go. Look, you're just a man of solutions, aren't you?
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
This is not going to be easy for you to hear, but it needs to be said.
I realized something when I overheard my 15-year-old talking with a friend the other day, that the only time we really think about getting older is when we're kids. You know, when you're four, you kind of think in fractions. You know, I used to ask my kids, how old are you today? And they would say, I'm 4 and a half.
Right.
You're never 45 and a half. You ever notice that?
No.
I'm four and a half.
When you're older, you round down. When you're younger, you round. You might have just had your fifth birthday, but if anybody asks you, you're nearly six. Right.
Well, yeah. And in fact, you're going on six.
Right, going on six, yeah.
Right? You're going to be 16. When you become 21. Even the word sounds like a ceremony.
Right.
Becoming
of age,
21, right?
Yeah.
I turn 30. It sounds like bad milk. I'm turning 30.
And, that's
and all
true.
All these words we use to describe how we get older, like I'm pushing 40. I reach 50. I make it to 60, and by that time, I think you're going so fast, you hit 70.
Oh, you're right. Look at the words.
Isn't it crazy? And then here's the crazy thing, because my wife's.
So was your 15-year-old daughter talking about this?
Well, they started talking about how they can't wait until they, you know, turn 21 or become. My wife's grandfather is about to turn 95, and he's really still kind of got it, and. When you ask him how old he is, he actually starts talking in fractions again. It's like when we get to the end, how old are you? I'm 95 and a half.
Oh,
right?
Bless.
And you know what? I think George Carlin said it best about getting older.
Fear of aging is natural. It's universal, isn't it? We all have that. No one wants to get old. No one wants to die, but we do. So we bullshit ourselves. I started bullshit myself when I got to my 40s. As soon as I was in my 40s, I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, well, I guess I'm getting older. Older sounds a little better than old, doesn't it? Sounds like it might even last a little longer. Bullshit, I'm getting old. And it's okay, because thanks to our fear of death in this country, I won't have to die. I'll pass away. Listen.
Listen.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Hey, recently I talked about the fact that my wife, Lisa, cheated on me.
Yes, when you say it like that, it sounds bloody awful. Don't. God, way to be a dramatist, right?
Well, here's what she did. We have a favorite show that we're watching on Netflix called Shameless.
Oh,
and I had to leave the house.
Which I may be getting into, by the way.
I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It's deranged and it's wonderful, but it's a Showtime show that's being shown on Netflix now. And she actually watched a couple of episodes without me, and I can't even get over that.
Right.
Now, House of Cards came out yesterday,
right,
and Richard is away. How are you not going to be able to watch any of the House of Cards while he's away?
God. Well, so you've been talking about Shameless, and so have other people, and I watched 10 minutes and thought, oh my God, this is dumb. Anyway, everybody said, just give it a bit more. So
give it 3 episodes.
Yeah, well, I've watched the first episode, and I thought, oh, okay, I can see the appeal in this, so I'm going to give it a bit more go.
And, okay.
But at the same time, I'm thinking, oh, should I forge ahead with this, or would Richard enjoy this as well, and maybe I should wait and we should watch it together. But then, of course, House of Cards comes out yesterday, the new season, and it's like, no, bugger Richard. He's off enjoying himself doing this Transamerica Trail. I can't watch out. I won't, because I won't breach that trust. I am a better wife than your wife, apparently. I will not watch House of Cards without Richard.
No.
But I just thought, well, if I can't watch that, I'm watching Shameless.
Shameless, yeah.
I'm just going for it. So
it's a cheat, but it's not really a cheat, because he has no emotional investment in it.
No, yet. Exactly. Yeah. So I may be. Did you watch any House of Cards yet?
I haven't yet, but it's what we're doing later on today.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's the rest of our day.
So, shorts and T-shirt, plop in front of the couch, and House of Cards. Welcome back, Kevin Spacey.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. All these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed. Two.
How much would you pay for a smelly 33-year-old pair of shoes?
Probably not much. Not much.
Well, somebody's about to pay about $100,000 for them because they were owned by Michael Jordan and autographed and from the 1984 Olympics.
Oh, okay.
And they're Converse.
Okay, so they were expensive to begin with, right?
Yes, and they were the year before he signed his deal with Nike. So, for a collector, that's an insane collection item to have, and they're going up for auction here.
You're never going to wear them. What are you going to buy? Like, how much money do you have to have just to blow $100,000 on a pair of sweaty old stinky shoes? And then what do you do with them? Do you put them in your living room? I mean, if you spend $100,000 on them, you want them on display somewhere.
These being in some kind of sports hall of fame somewhere or something,
yes,
but as a private owner, I've never really got the collection of things like this.
And think about it too, Cliff. If you do put them on display on the bookcase or something in the living room, on the mantle or something, they're just dust collectors. And think of a pair of sneakers, they're going to just collect the hard to dust. It's not like they've got a nice smooth surface, you just wipe them down.
I get an eye roll when I don't put my shoes away when I come in the front door. Can you imagine? Hey,
if you put them up on the mantle,
exactly.
I don't think so.
That's not going to go over well.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
One. Online dating sites are just not for people anymore. No, if you're a lonely animal in a zoo and looking for a mate, where do you turn, of course? You go to the internet, right?
Of course you do. If there's a lonely, lonely penguin at an aquarium in England and he's hoping to find a mate by putting a profile on the dating website Plenty of Fish.
How does a penguin even type?
I mean, with those fins and things, you would think he'd be slapping all over the keyboard or whatever. I don't know how he does that. And I think he might be a bit confused because Plenty of Fish sounds more like he's looking for a meal than an actual partner. I mean, I think if I'm on Plenty of Fish and I'm seeing this penguin there, I'm like, whoa, like he looks a bit like a predator of some kind. This penguin's dating profile says the one-year-old penguin is a single penguin looking for chicks. Apparently, there's no other mates for him at his little aquarium home and he's feeling lonely. Actually, the type of penguin he is, he's a Humboldt penguin and there's as few as 10,000 1,000 pairs left in the world. And so they're a little bit of an endangered species or a thinning out species. And so he wants a mate to so he can be part of the breeding program. One sounds a bit young, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Putting a one-year-old out there to, I mean, it just sounds a little bit.
Well, how many years is like a 1 year in penguin years, like
well,
dog years,
true.
Right?
That's true. Have you seen his profile picture? I think he needs to loosen up. Take the tuxedo off, mate. You look a bit stiff and formal. Try a T-shirt and a pair of shorts.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.